Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world. And I'm hoping that you're hearing me because I am once again having some technical problems here this morning. And okay, my producer is saying that he can hear me fine. Good. Sometimes we have difficulties finding our guests when we call them, but I'm sure that my guest is going to arrive. Anyway, it's Wednesday, June 12th, 2013, and I'm sitting here in beautiful Clearwater, Florida. No hurricanes today. And today we're going to talk about honey as soon as our guests arrive. But in the meanwhile, I need to tell you something else. So what can I talk about here? Well, let me talk about honey, because honey is one of my favorite foods. It's also something that is very nutritious. Come on, let's start talking. Very nutritious and something that I've spent a lot of time eating and enjoying. I was thinking about this, and one of my favorite dishes with honey that I've ever had was in a restaurant where they brought me a beautiful piece of bread that I don't normally eat bread, but I eat bread upon occasion. But it was a beautiful piece of toasted artisan baked bread. And alongside there was a little jar, like an old fashioned, you know, jam jar, little one. And inside was some goat cheese on the bottom, soft goat cheese. And then there was a layer of honey on top of the goat cheese in the jar. And then I was allowed as the diner to take that combination of honey and goat cheese and spread it on the bread as much or as little as I liked. And I just thought that that was so wonderful. The thing about honey is that honey has some very nutritious properties, which I'm sure we'll hear about later. And it's antibiotic and has, it really is. I think it's one of those things called the food of the gods. I read a book once where they were talking about all the beneficial health effects of honey. And but in order to have those beneficial health effects, you need to have raw honey and you need to not cook it. And what happens is if you bake with it or put it into some type of, we're still working on getting the guests. If you bake with honey or put it in hot tea or anything like that, you get the sweetness, but you don't get the positive health effects. And so I'm always looking for ways to use honey where I can use it raw. And some of the things, and that you want to buy it raw, and you also then want to use it raw. So in addition to spreading honey, now here's another thing I thought of, that as a child, I did used to eat toast for breakfast every morning. And one of the ways I ate toast that was my very, very favorite was that I put butter on the toast and honey, and then my mother would grind up almonds in a little, like a coffee grinder, and she would put that on top of the toast, and this was the most delicious thing. Toast, butter, honey, and ground almonds. And by putting it, just spreading it on warm toast, it's not enough to heat or cook the honey, but it warms it up. And okay, so my guest is coming on the line soon. My producer says stand by. Well, so here's another thing that I thought of about honey. A lot of people like to put honey in tea. And so if you just let the tea cool off to the point where you can actually drink it and then add your honey, that it would maintain some of those honey properties. And I also thought when I'm making iced tea, that you need to let the honey cool down and again put your honey in when the iced tea is cool, not all the way cold, but still warm enough to the touch is about the right thing. and then you'll maintain those wonderful properties of honey. Ted, can you hear me? This is Deborah.
Yes, hello.
Hello, thank you for being with me today on Toxic Free Talk Radio. This is Ted Denard, is that how you say it?
Yes.
Great. And he's the founder of Savannah Bee Company, which is in Georgia, and they have a wonderful website. It's savannahbee.com. And what they do is that they bottle honeys. They have their own honey, but they also bottle honeys that they've chosen from exceptionally conscientious beekeepers. And they have a lot of recipes, and they have a lot of different flavors and a lot of suggestions about how you can use the honey. It's more than just selling a bottle of honey. So I was very interested to have him on. Thanks for being with me, Ted.
Oh, I'm excited and proud to be here.
Oh, thank you. So would you start just by telling us your story about beekeeping and how you came to love bees as a child and what happened after that?
Well, it's pretty simple. I had an introduction to honeybees from an older gentleman. He was probably 70. And I was 12 years old, and he took me in his hives. He put some bees on my dad's property. We had 100 acres of land. And then he basically took me in a beehive. And once I saw him, I was enthralled and hooked. And it's so easy. I mean, even today, I'm literally coming in out of a beehive. I'm covered in sweat and the southern heat, and I love it. I love them flying around. I love smelling them, seeing them, what I find is that pretty much everybody does. Once you get properly introduced, where you're not afraid, you just love them. So that's what happened, and then forever on, I kept bees. He died, I kept his bees, and when I went to college, I had a landlord that had bees, and he taught me a lot of really interesting cerebral facts, like how the queen is born a worker bee, and like Cinderella is fed royal jelly, and she turns into a queen. And workers only live for 6 weeks, but she can live for 5 years, and all of these amazing honeybee facts. And then, upon my graduation with a degree in religion, I thought I wanted to be a
Goodness.
Professor.
From honeybees to religion.
I joined the Peace Corps, and they sent me to Jamaica, and I spent 2 years there, and they wanted me to work with beekeepers and beekeeping. So it kind of just was with me my whole life, and then the business part, which I didn't really want to do, but a friend of mine opened a store and convinced me to let her have a few jars of honey, and then another store owner saw it in her store and called me saying that she wanted some, and then another one, and it just started snowballing from there. And so that's how the business got started. And I've just kind of been doing crash courses in business, trying to learn as much as I can. And it's been about 12 years. It's been fun.
That's great. You know, some of you listening may have seen a bottle of Savannah Bee honey, but not known it was Savannah. And I know that I saw many bottles of your honey, and every time I saw the bottle, I admired it. I wanted to buy it just for the bottle.
We put the honey in a flute. It's a wine bottle, a little French wine bottle, and so it is pretty, and it makes the honey, it dresses the honey up to look as good as it should look, because the honey is so good. I wanted that. It was, you know, now that I know business, I know I was differentiating myself in the marketplace, but when I first put the honey in that bottle, it was just out of pride, because I wanted people to know that the honey in that bottle is better than that old sticky plastic bear.
Well, we're going to talk about that when we come back from the break, which we need to start in just a few seconds. But I do want to say that finally I discovered Savannah Bee as a company, and not just a beautiful bottle. And that's when I took a look at the website and decided I needed to have Ted on the radio show. And we'll be back in just a few minutes and talk more about honey. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and we're here today with Ted Denard, the founder of Savannah Bee Company, and they sell honey and other bee products. Ted, I have to say that honey is actually my favorite sweetener, because it's not only delicious, but it comes, it's probably the purest form, the closest to nature of any of the sweeteners that you can just take it out of the hive. Or like I've had honey, bees making honey in hollowed out trees that, you know, you can
right.
just, you know, that it's not a industrial product at all. It's something that has existed in nature since maybe the beginning of time, and that it's an ancient sweetener, and that you can just, if you find a tree, just take it out of the tree and use it. So, you mentioned before the break that your honey was so much better than the stuff in a little plastic bear. So tell us, what are the downfalls of honey that you might find in that plastic bear? What's wrong with honey at the supermarket, and why is your honey so much better?
Okay, well, so there's a couple of different angles. One comment just on what you were just saying is that honey is one of those things that, you know, the plants are creating it using the sun's energy. The honeybees gather that nectar and concentrate it into the honey. They take the nectar from about 83% or 85% water, and they fan it with their wings down to about 17% water, and that's when it's honey, and it's the only food that never spoils, and you know, it's good forever. So I think there's
never occurred to me that the plants were making the nectar and then the bees were processing it. I always thought that the bees somehow made it.
Well,
so I'm really glad you told us that.
Well, they kind of are. They're distilling it. But to me, you know, it's kind of sun's energy turned into sugar. I mean, which is a different form of energy. I think it's really, truly amazing. And some things like the agave nectar, and I don't want to disparage other things, but the, you know, it's a process, like you mentioned. Like you have to convert the starch into sugars using some process that's chemical based, and I really don't know much about it, but I just, you know, it's not as easy as just you know, squeezing a honeycomb like you can with a honey.
Right. Yeah, I mean, honey truly is the sweetener that is directly a product of nature, that you eat it in the form that it exists in nature. But what ends up happening is before it goes in the little plastic bear, they do things to it.
Well, I mean, well, you know, with any plastic, you do want to make sure it's the right kind of plastic, so, you know, that won't leach into whatever food you have. Honey's pretty good about being innocuous with it. Touch another material, so, and then the honey itself, there's really two answers to your question of like, why would my honey be better, and I'd say that anybody's fresh honey, any honey out of a tree or, you know, or right out of a beehive, it's going to be delicious and good, and no worse or better than anybody else's, so it would all be good, right? And then,
right.
But I do think some honeys are great, and what that extra little greatness comes from is when you can create a single flower varietal honey where the bees have only been going to one nectar source, you know, one species of flower, like a tupelo tree or a sourwood tree. And so you get a completely unique and individual taste from the honey. So it's going to be different than honey on the grocery store. Honey is typically blended for color.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not made for taste. So you're going to have different types of honey often mixed in just to achieve a uniform color always. And then,
well, I didn't know that either. My goodness.
Yeah, so it's not that the honey is bad. It's just that the taste won't be there. And then a lot of times when you mix different honeys, it gets it can get strange. You could combine two really good honeys that just complemented one another, and it could be wonderful, but you could also get two or three honeys that really kind of compete and make the honey not very good at all.
Well, that's one answer. Yeah. Okay, give me the other answer before I ask.
I mean,
that's
there's
the
a
question.
Couple. That is one answer. And so the other one is a lot of the honey that is in those grocery stores is really heated and really filtered. And the reason you heat and filter honey is to keep it from granulating in the bottle, because in America or United States, people just are not used to eating honey that's kind of crystallized, which is a completely natural process. When there's that granulation in honey, that doesn't mean anything's been added. It's not sugar added. It's just that it granulates naturally. And so you heat it and you filter it. And sometimes in the heating, if you heat it too hot, over 140 or for too long, even at 120, micro filter it, then you've lost some of the nutrients and pollens that made it and the enzymes that made it really nutritional to begin with.
Yes.
So, but full disclosure, there are some of our honeys that we do heat. We try not to go over 140. And we don't really filter them very finely at all because we want to leave the pollens and all the goodness in there. But we the ones that are that granulate, we will heat them. But the ones that we do not heat, we call out raw on the label. So raw honey means the honey hasn't been heated or filtered, and it still has the pollens and enzymes that make it so good for you.
Yeah. Yeah,
and then here's another interesting thing.
Yeah.
So honey from a clover flower is going to have a lot of glucose sugars versus fructose sugars, and then honey from a tupelo flower is going to have lots of fructose sugars versus glucose sugars. And so tupelo honey, people have thought, for a long time they thought that was the honey that diabetics could eat because it's slowly assimilated. The fructose sugars are. It can never ever granulate. If it does, it's not tupelo honey, and has a real soft sweet, whereas the clover honey is going to granulate, and it'd be a little more candy sweet. And not that the taste of one is better or worse than the other necessarily, it's just, but every different honey is a different type of sugar as well, or different combination of sugars. So, lots of differentiation out there.
Yes, well, we'll talk more about honey and the differences and what to do with them after the break. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio, and my guest today is Ted Dennard from Savannah Bee Company. To learn more about Toxic Free Talk Radio, you can go to ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com, and Ted's website is SavannahBee.com. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and I'm here today with Ted Dennard from Savannah Bee Company, and we're talking about honey. And before I go on with Ted, I just want to give you some of the health benefits of honey. One is that it contains antioxidants, which can help reduce the risk of some cancers and also heal problems from exposure to toxic chemicals. It can help ulcers and bacterial gastroenteritis. All honey is antibacterial because honeys add an enzyme that makes hydrogen peroxide. That's from the Honey Research Unit in New Zealand. It increases athletic performance. Apparently, ancient Olympic athletes would eat honey and dried figs to enhance their performance. And that's now been verified with modern studies. It reduces cough and throat irritation. Now, I can vouch for that because when I have a sore throat, I make a concoction that my parents actually made, which was pouring honey over sliced onions. And believe me, if you have anything wrong with your throat, make that. Put a plate over the bowl so that it just sweats. And then drink that juice, that resulting juice, a few tablespoons at a time, and by the next day, there'll be nothing wrong with your throat for sure. It also, some honeys balance blood sugar if you take it in moderation. It also heals wounds and burns. If I ever cut my finger, what I do is I put honey on it and put a Band-Aid around it. And it gives you beautiful skin. And once again, I'll say that in my own experience, the best skin cleanser I ever had was an Indian, Eastern Indian potion that was made with a honey base, and every morning I would put honey on my face, and you could really see the difference, honey and herbs. So, Ted, I'm really interested in how do you get bees to just go to one tree?
That's a question we get a lot. Well, the bees have something called flower fidelity, and they determine what is the best source of nectar. So if you want to make a tupelo honey, then you would take your beehives out to the tupelo forest and swamps, really. The trees grow along the riverbanks. So you take your beehives in there in April. You watch the blooms, and right as they're beginning to open up, you take all your honey boxes off, and you just leave the boxes that have the bees with all their babies and brood. They call that the brood chamber. And then you put empty honey boxes on, and that's the honey that they bring in, all that nectar, and they create a tupelo honey in those new empty boxes. So they fill them up, and that's, as soon as that bloom finishes, you take those boxes off and, extract that honey. So it's a little art, a little science, and then, of course, everything's dependent upon the weather, and you can have it where it will, end up, weather could be terrible and they might not go to that, and they might go to fly, a mile away to something else. So you need a lot of forces to cooperate, from bees to rain, sun, everything.
Well, then I can understand now why these single varietal honeys, it's like, I'm looking at your site and you have a list of specialty honeys, that are single varieties, and like varietal chocolate we have now, varietal wines that we've always had, but now we have varietal honeys. And I was really interested on your site to see how you use different honeys for different purposes. Like you have a special honey for grilling, for example, and how the different flavors. This is another thing that I think is so exciting about honey, is that honey isn't just honey. I mean, if the only honey you're buying is in the little plastic bear, you would think that all honey tastes the same, but it doesn't. And there's so many different varieties and so many flavors, and that you would really like pair honey and foods, right? Like you would pair
absolutely
wine and food. So talk to us about these different uses and different flavors and what you've learned.
Well, some of it's personal opinion, just like in wine, you can drink whatever wine you want to drink with whatever you're eating. But I have been doing this since I was little, and I'm sort of a honey snob. And so, I'm particular, and I do think there are many different honeys, can be good in like tea, but that wouldn't be as good in with something else. So it really, it just depends on what you're trying to achieve. So I love tea, like green tea and black teas, and I don't want to overpower the taste of the tea, the subtle flavor. So I would use a really mild tasting honey, and preferably that's more fructose kind of sugars, because those you taste on the back of your tongue and allows you to taste the tea on the front. So it's, it gets kind of complex, but a lot of it's just trial and error. The honey that we think, one of the honeys that we think and pairs the best with cheese is a star thistle honey. And that's what we put in we have a bottle of honey that says honey for cheese. And so that honey just by experimentation, we found like this honey is so good with cheese. It's real spicy and apple-y and so, typically, I love Tupelo honey the most, but this was better with the cheese than the Tupelo, and I just had to acknowledge that and create a bottle of honey that told everybody else how good it was.
But you can really add a lot of variety of flavors to what you're eating, all of your dishes, by having different flavors of honey. I mean, even if you were eating mostly salad, like I eat a lot of salad, and you could make delicious raw honey salad dressings, and they could all taste different from day to day. It wouldn't be, I mean, this is one of the things about you're eating, especially like lettuce day after day after day. Well, how are you going to get it to taste different? One of the ways you can get it to taste different is to make a lovely salad dressing with a good oil and a nice honey and change those honey flavors. And you would still be able to use the honey in the raw state.
Right, absolutely. And you use this type of honey one day and another one the next day and discover which one you like the most. They really will be different.
I had the pleasure of getting one of your samplers, and it has three, I think you have several different sampler packages where you can get three different types of honey in small bottles. And I was tasting them this morning, and I really could taste the difference between the honeys when you taste them side by side. And I really recommend that people get small bottles and taste and see what it is they like. And I know when I went to the state fair, the Florida State Fair, a few years ago, and there was a company that was selling honey, not your company, but somebody else. And they had all their different flavors all laid out on the table. And I could taste them and I could see which ones that I like. I think I find for myself I like the ones that have a little more flavor to them as opposed to simply sweetness. But we're going to talk more about honey when we come back from this break. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and we're here with Tent Denard from Savannah Bee Company talking about honey. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and today we're talking about honey with Ted Denard from Savannah Bee Company. You have all these recipes. I was just looking at them during the break. I'm looking at the salted honey pie. Have you tried all these recipes?
I have definitely not tried all of them, but we do have some people constantly sending recipes, suggesting recipes. We have some of our folks in our offices and stores that they're always experimenting and coming up with some. And I mean, they're honey caramels and these honey cheesecakes, and I mean, there's some fantastic stuff that they're coming up with.
Well, I'm going to send you some honey recipes too, because as I said in the beginning, that I do love honey. But I was interested in this one, salted honey pie, because I imagine that salt, especially if you get a really good, we have so many varietal salts now, that if you got a really good salt, paired it with just the right honey.
Absolutely.
I'm laughing because that sounds so gourmet, but I mean, it really, yes, there's so many flavors. There really is so many flavors in nature, and we end up eating only this small handful of industrialized flavors that I just love seeing all these variations. And there, in the recipe category heading here, we've got recipes for beverages with honey, breads, desserts, salad dressings, sauces, marinades, entrees, side dishes, soups, starters, but also beauty recipes, as I said earlier, that one of the best facial cleansers I ever used was in a honey base. So, but you also have some body care products that you're making with your honeys. So tell us about those.
Well, bees and people, or bee products and people, go back to the beginning of people. Bees have been around a long time, before T-Rex even, So, but no, they've got, cave drawings depicting people gathering honey from 16,000 years ago. And, but really since then, people have been making mead, which is an alcoholic fermented water and honey beverage.
I love mead.
And using the honey that for all of the cooking needs, and then for beauty needs, honey, the sugars and some of the peroxides and all this stuff can really be good for your skin. They can soften it, moisturize it, kill all the bacteria, so it really cleans it. When you work with honey, and you just rinse your hands off with warm water, and the honey comes off, and your hands are literally squeaky clean and soft. And I think, Cleopatra is supposed to have used honey in her baths, and so what we are doing here is it's not like we're necessarily inventing this, we're kind of reinventing it and just creating lotions with honey, but not just honey. There's other hive products which may be even more beneficial, like the beeswax is really good for you, and it makes a really good base for these products, lotions and creams, and lip balms and salves, and it's got tons of vitamin A, which helps regenerate skin cells. And we have people, writing us, telling us, oh, this cleared up this eczema or psoriasis, or did this or that, or took that spot away. But I don't necessarily think it's our unique formulation. I think it's just the sort of the magic of the honeybees. The royal jelly that the queen eats is really packed full of vitamins and lots of goodness that is good for your skin. It's big antioxidant. It's incredible, the products. And so what we're just doing is kind of trying to re-pioneer stuff. And there's about 100 more things we want to put together just because it's really fun to do. And people love it, and I think it's good for them. You know, so it's kind of makes you feel good. Beekeepers are supposed to live longer than any other profession. And while I don't know that that'll be true for me, it does kind of give you hope that these products are really good for you.
I think they really are good for you, and I'll just keep saying again and again that honey does have these natural nutrients in them, but also these health-giving products, properties like having antioxidants in them, for example. And people are eating chocolate and all kinds of things for antioxidants, but they could also be eating honey. It's just a fully alive, raw, natural food, and especially if you get it in its natural state, that is a really important thing, to have it be raw and unfiltered, and then it has a lot of qualities to it.
And on that note, the honeycomb, you can get a honeycomb straight out of a beehive. The honey that's in the bottle is basically, all you do is you take a knife and slice the cappings of these beeswax honeycombs off, and then you spin the honey out in a little basket that's inside of a stainless steel drum, and the honey kind of slings out of the cells of the honeycomb.
Uh-huh.
So you're just kind of mechanically extracting it from the combs. But you can just eat the honeycomb itself, and it's really good. And like I mentioned, there's a lot of other stuff, but the vitamin A is one of the main things in beeswax that's good for you. But everything's kind of still locked inside the cells of the honeycomb when you're eating it, and you can just grab a piece of honeycomb and chew on it, and then the wax ends up like gum, or you could put it between slices of bread or a biscuit, and it's just put cheese with it, and it's just fantastic. There's so many things you can do with it that you'd never think. But that is the most raw, I feel like the most beneficial way to eat honeycomb. And it doesn't matter whether it's our honeycomb or your beekeeper down the street, but get somebody's, local beekeeper's honeycomb and give that a try.
The best honeycomb, I was going to say recipe, but it's not even really a recipe. The best pairing, that's the word. The best pairing of honeycomb I've ever eaten is honeycomb and blue cheese.
Yes.
Oh my God. When I tasted that at my natural food store, they were trying to sell the honeycomb and the blue cheese, and I put them together. I took one bite and I bought the honeycomb and the blue cheese.
Oh yeah, it is fantastic. It's so good, isn't it? That's sort of an old Mediterranean way of eating, gorgonzolas and things. So it is fantastic.
Yes, just the combination of those things. Tell us, at the beginning of the show, you were talking about being properly introduced to bees. How does one get properly introduced to bees? I love bees, and I've been around beehives, and I've been to workshops with beekeepers and things like that. But I know that a lot of people are afraid of bees, and they don't want to be stung. And so can you just say something about your love of bees and your comfortableness being around them?
Yes. Well, it took me, I will say this, it took me a long time before I was not afraid to be stung. And so when you have gloves and you're always kind of concerned and worried, and that's not as fun. But once you can lose the fear and realize the honeybee sting, it's going to hurt. It might swell a little bit, but it's not that big a deal. And the more you get stung, the less that happens. That when you lose that fear, it's like a zen-like state that you're in, because you're just calm and you sort of get, it's sort of like falling into the rabbit hole. You just get lost in the beehive. The colors, the sounds, the smells, and you'll smell this ripening honey, and it makes your heart beat fast. It smells so good. And even yesterday, this woman that works in our web department, she's really gotten into working with the bees, but she's really new, and then she's out there, she's got no veil on. She's getting up, there's a big hand, like a big giant clump of bees hanging off the beehive, and she's got a big handful of them. And they're not stinging, and they won't sting unless she squeezes them. And they just, you can, they're not only wiggling and tickling, but there's like almost like a little vibration in there going up your arm. And we were talking about it. And it's just, even for me, it's like the first time I've ever been in a beehive. I'm just, you can't help but love them.
You know, I think that there is an affinity between humans and all living things, and that we just, we have some fears that get taught to us, in our culture, but that if we just understand that if we're not afraid, that they're not going to be afraid, and that that affinity will come through, and why would they want to hurt you? You know,
right. Well, honeybees die when they sting you.
And I imagine that it would, the more I'm around bees, the more I just calm down and just love them, the more confident I feel that I'm going to be okay. And I just love honey so much. I just can imagine, you know, how much you love it. And it just seemed when I read about your experience and hearing you talk, I can just see what a great thing bees are in your life.
Oh, they and really are.
With that, we're almost at the end of our time. So thank you so much for being with
welcome.
Me, Ted. And again, Ted is with, you're the founder of Savannah Bee Company, and it's savannahbee.com. You're listening to ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com, and you can go to ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com. And I now have a blog where there is a blog post for each show. So you can go to the blog, go to the show, the post for this show, Savannah Bee Company. I think it's called A Taste of Honey. And you can put a comment or a question, tell us how much you like the show or ask a question. And if you enjoyed this show today, please tell your friends. And I'm here Monday through Friday at noon Eastern time. So please join me again.